Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Now, somebody who was mentioned in that quiz, somebody who was mentioned twice, in fact, was David. And we have the honor of having King David with us this morning. Can you put your hands together for King David?
Nice to see you, Grace.
What an entrance. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Great to be here. We'll just talk for a minute whilst I catch my breath.
It is a special treat to have King David with us here today.
Yeah, brilliant. It's lovely to be here, Grace. Father's Day, such a special day. Thanks so much for having me.
Actually, since you're here, you know, you're described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where does he say that?
It's in 1 Samuel 13. You know, Samuel is talking to Saul about how God is going to give you the kingdom. And that's how he describes you.
A man after God's own heart. What an extraordinary, kind and generous thing to say. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping since you're here, see, it's Father's Day, and I was hoping that you, as a man, after God's own heart, could give some words of wisdom to our dads here today.
Okay, all right. I don't think I'm in a position to be giving advice to dads. Grace, I don't know how much of the Bible that you've read, but I've got a bit of a mixed track record. Besides, I'm not an educated man. I was brought up tending my father's sheep in the hills. I ain't got no GCSEs, I ain't got no degree. I certainly ain't never done a parenting course.
David, that's true, but you're not a man without your talents. I mean, it was on your father's hills that you learned how to use a sling.
Oh, and a guitar.
Yes, and a guitar. But you slew Goliath with that sling.
Yeah, all right. That was a good day. But, I just saw red. This horrible, horrible man, bad-mouthing Father God and his people like that. I mean, it just really pushed my buttons. And I guess I just did what came naturally. But, you know, I'm just like that. I get really, really worked up when people offend the Lord.
Yeah. But what about all those other incredible military victories? You know, they sing that song that David has slain in his tens of thousands.
Grace, I was one man in an entire army. I think you can safely say that was a team effort. The only reason I got the song, I don't know, maybe they just heard of me, that's all.
Yes, David, but you were the one in those battles who trusted in God.
I trusted in God, except for the time when I didn't. There was that time when I took a census of my armies and I weren't trusting in God then, was I? I was having doubts. I was having struggles with my faith. I was worried that God wasn't going to come through for us. He wasn't willing to look after us. So I was sizing up my own strength just in case he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, there was that once. Yeah, there was. But what about all those amazing songs that you've written? And they've been sung for thousands of years all over the world.
All right, I admit I do like a tune, but I'm no Andy Yates. Besides, Grace, don't forget, Saul threw a spear at me when I was singing and playing the guitar, not just once, but twice.
Now, David, I think you're being gracious. Sorry, I think you're being modest. You were pretty gracious with Saul.
Gracious? Gracious to Saul? No. I cut a corner off his coat when he was on the loo. I felt so bad about doing that. So ashamed. Not because so much it was Saul, but because Saul was God's king. And I don't know, when I dishonoured the king, I ended up dishonouring Father God.
It didn't end well for Saul, though, did it?
No, it didn't. Poor Saul. I wish I could have done better for him and his son Jonathan, my mate. You see, Grace, they died as a part of me coming to the throne. See what I mean about having a bit of a mixed track record?
David, I think you're selling yourself short here, and us too.
Look, Grace, I was unfaithful to my wife. I womanized. I know God has forgiven me, but you don't honestly think I am in a position to be telling other people how to live their lives, do you?
Well, actually, I do. You see, we're chatting today about how you don't need to be perfect to be a good dad.
Perfect? I was a disastrous dad. I don't know if you've ever met my kids. All right, Solomon, yeah, he worked out well. But most of the rest of them, they were a nightmare. Constantly fighting, grasping after power. I was a negligent dad. I wasn't there for them. I failed to discipline them. I just left them over to their own devices. I was always so distracted and so busy with other things. And I let them get away with anything. And well, poor things, they suffered for it.
Yet it says in the Bible, in 1 Kings 3, that Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking in the ways of his father David.
True. But that was because of God's goodness, not because of mine. You see, Solomon, like me, he twigged the riches that come from when you put God's ways first. He cottoned on to the benefits of living in the friendship and the fear of the Lord. And so he was just acting out of that.
Okay, well, let's go with that line of thought for a moment. But in the hopes of me getting something hopeful and promising for our dads here today, can you remember that time you brought the ark, the symbol of God's presence, back into Jerusalem? Do you remember that day?
Remember it? It's about the best day of my life. Finally, Father God was at the center and being honored among his people. What a brilliant day. I remember I had to get a little bit carried away in some of the celebrations, but, you know, that's just me. I go, nothing really gets me excited as much as worshipping the Lord.
Indeed. That's why, actually, I've asked Rosanna to come and read us a account of that. It's in 2 Samuel 6.
That's embarrassing.
Come on, Rosanna.
King David went to the house of Obed-Edom to bring up the Ark of God to the city of Jerusalem. As he did, he went with great rejoicing and costly sacrifice. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, they stopped to sacrifice a bull and a fattened calf, every 6 steps. Meanwhile, David took off his royal robes, and looking like an ordinary man, David danced in a linen ephod before the Lord with all his might. In this way, he and all Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, his wife Michal watched from a window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and they all went back to their homes. When David returned to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going round only half-dressed in full view of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate him. I do not care what people think, as long as I honor the Lord. In fact, I will become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes if It means the Lord will be honoured.
Amazing. Thank you, Rosanna. Thank you.
Thanks, Rosanna.
All right.
Yeah.
You see, David, I think that's why Samuel describes you as a man after God's own heart. So
maybe.
Can you swallow your humility for me and say something helpful to the dads here today?
All right. Maybe. Look, if you're a mum or you're a dad, or if you're neither, if you're young or if you're old, when you put God first, life is good. Now, not necessarily easy, but good. And when you don't, it isn't. Trust me, I know. And I will say this, if you're a dad this morning, I'll say this to you, because it could be, dads, men in general, that like me, that you're maybe a little bit quick to see some of your mistakes, some of your shortcomings, some of your failings. And clearly, what I think the Lord is wanting to say to us this morning is, you don't have to be perfect to be a good dad. In fact, if I'm anything to go by, you don't have to be perfect to be a person after God's own heart.
That's the stuff, David. Thank you. Do you think you could pray for us?
Let's pray together. Look, if you're dad wanting to be encouraged this morning, or if you're anyone wanting to have a heart after God, being a person after God's own heart, as I pray, if you agree with this prayer, just put your hand here on your heart, and I'm going to pray for us. All right. So, dear Father God, I want to thank you. Thank you for your grace, for your love. That we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to get everything right, because you love us enough to have sent Jesus to have forgiven us all of our sins, all of our mistakes, to get rid of all that stuff so that we can live free in you. And I want to pray, Lord, for everyone today, whether they know you well, not so well, or not at all. I want to pray, Lord, for all of us here this morning, that you'd help us to get a handle on the fact that we don't have to be perfect to be your children. You take us as we are, you carry us the rest of the way. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you so much, David, for being here with us today. Can we give David a hand? Thank you, David. Thanks for being with us.